Well, good morning. I'm obviously not Matt Morton. A lot of reasons. I'm working on my beard, but that I've lost hope. But if we haven't met before, my name is Gavin Sledge. I'm the youth pastor here, and I'm really, really grateful to be with y'all. A few things about me that I'm excited to share. We just finished what is my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving. Any other Thanksgiving lovers? Just me? I'm going to ask y'all to raise your hands a few more times, so get used to it, all right? I'm a youth pastor. This is what we do. We talk. But man, I love Thanksgiving. To the point of it's my favorite holiday. And I know that is like, whoa, Gavin, you're a pastor. There's Christmas trees around you. Like, do you not understand what's happening? Yes, I understand. But I love Thanksgiving. There's so many things. The food, I love the family aspect. I love the football. I'm a Packers fan, so we finally got a good day. Man, there are things where I love. But also one of the things I love is that, man, it challenges us. It challenges us as a culture to stop. To fight against thriving and striving and all the things in the future, to dream, and all those things that are good, but it takes gives us time to just stop and to reflect over God's goodness, over the things that we are thankful for and grateful for and all those things. And so I'm excited to be sharing with y'all some things that I'm still working through, the things that, man, I am forever gonna be growing in, because naturally, I'm just not the most grateful person. Also, by a show of hands, who are our optimists in the room? Who are like, man, that glass is always full. Any optimists in the room? Thank you. Yeah? How about the other side of the table, the more pessimist? Do you like to say realist? If your wife is looking at you and kind of giving you a nudge, it might be you. That's me. I'm more of the pessimist, the realist, kind of that middle side. That, man, the more I've been in this job, the more I've spent time with my team, I've learned, man, I see things maybe not over what could be, but man, I start to see the challenges. I start to see everything that could go wrong, right? We're in a brainstorming meeting, and as I've learned this, I've seen it's a gift, but it's also a challenge. I've had to work with that. But people are bringing me new ideas, and hey, we're gonna do this thing, and I just initially just say, hey, here's everything wrong with that. That's not a great leading opportunity or things to say when someone is bringing you, man, their dreams and their goals and all those things. But for me, it comes from a place, man, I wanna make something better. With that, I've also found that I really struggle with absolutes. Always, nevers, all of them, all of the above, right? I just struggle with anything that says, man, this will always be the case, no matter what. Because my brain instantly goes to say, but how about this one time? Or what if this? Right, so today we're gonna be looking at a passage, and our main passage is 1 Thessalonians 5, that uses an absolute. And I know I would not win an argument with Paul, but man, instantly when I read these verses, I struggle and I'm challenged with, man, what does it look like to always be something? Because Paul's sitting here, I'm also in Ephesians, he tells, man, this is what you should always be. And this is not a sermon just to encourage the optimist of like, hey, great job, or to challenge the pessimist. No, this is a sermon I think that is for all of us. Because this is a message and something I've been learning, man, this pushes us deeper in love and adoration and worship for the creator of the universe, the God who loves you and knows you. Right? This allows us to walk in a life that is worshipful towards him and draw others in that same thing. So today's message, we're gonna be looking at what does it look like for us to live a life of thankfulness, right? We just finished a holiday that's all about gratitude, and all about thankfulness, but the Bible doesn't say, hey, just once a year, kind of get together with your family, eat some turkey, be thankful, and then move on. No, Paul is really clear. He says, man, all the time, that the will of God is that you live thankful lives. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, man, why? Why does God call us to these things? What are a few ways we can do that? And ultimately, we're going to address some of the challenges that I have with that. Some of the challenges say, hey, God, you call us to this great big task. How about the what ifs? How about us who are walking in this room brokenhearted? Those who are coming into this holiday season burdened, stressed, frustrated, grieving, lonely. And I believe that there is a truth here in the gospel of Jesus Christ that addresses those things. So I'm excited to share with y'all. We're gonna be jumping around a lot, but our main verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. If you wanna jump there, I'll have it all on the slides because once again, I work in youth ministry. We just gotta be ready for everything. And I mean everything. So if you don't have your Bible, that's all right. So here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says. It says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul doubles down. He's like, I got more. Be filled with the Spirit. And he says this in Ephesians. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? This is a big task, man. And all these things, he connects that this is the will of God. This is what you are called to do, is to give thanks always and for everything. And this just isn't New Testament talk, right? Here are Psalms that are, man, specific to just giving thanks. As you read these Psalms, they are all about giving thanks unto the Lord. That God has called us to this idea and is repeated all throughout Scripture. And why? Man, I think there's a lot of reasons. But one, it is an act of worship. And Romans 12 says, man, you are called to live your life as an act of worship. That the creator of the universe has called you and created you for this certain thing, and that is to worship him. Right? And so as we see this, man, we begin to open our eyes to see the way God is moving and blessing us. We see that we have so much to be thankful for. Now, biblical thankfulness is a little more than just like a, hey, thanks, right? Us in America, we're really kind, naturally, people, right? We say thanks a lot, especially us Southerners, right? We love to say thanks. Thank you for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But biblical thankfulness, man, it's more than just a small thanks. It should be an outpour of pure gratitude, and it's coming from a place of true understanding of God's character, of his works, and his promises, that we can live in gratitude and thankfulness because we see who God is. Right? And he doesn't call us just to be grateful for the things we want. Right? Gratitude is a challenge. Because it's ultimately saying, hey, Lord, this is what I want, but ultimately I'm going to be thankful for what you've given, because I'm going to trust you over what I might desire. I'm going to believe in your promises over what I might want. I'm going to choose to grieve sin, but I'm also going to choose to celebrate you and what you are doing and what ultimately you will do, which in turn draws us closer to the giver of good gifts. All right, the production guys earlier were giving me a hard time for this slide. So here's a really weird slide, right? Like, I don't know what's happening here. What do y'all see? Yeah, we see, yeah, thank you for whoever said that over there with the cutest voice, right? We see a black dot. That's what we see. Right, and this isn't a trick question. You were right. There is a black dot right in the middle of the screen. I couldn't scrub it off. Like, it is there. That is what's happening. Right? Some of you parents might have your kids home all week. Like, your walls might look a little like this, right? You might have some crayon drawings, or hopefully not, but a couple holes in the wall. Like, that there is a, there's something right in the middle of that screen. All right, and if I ask you again, hey, what do you see? Once again, you see a black dot, and that's not wrong. Well, your eyes continue to be drawn to this black dot. That's the same for me. It's like, man, I know that there's other things, but I just can't stop looking at that. Right? And I think this is a small illustration, and it's a silly illustration. But ultimately, I think this is the way we view life, and we see this from the beginnings. Man, we are so focused on one thing that we miss the rest of what's happening, right? That dot is like 4% of the photo, that there's 95%, I know that's bad math, 96% of other things happening there. I know y'all laugh. I was a liberal arts major, right? There's so much more happening in that photo outside of the black dot. There's a whole other piece of that, right? We see this in Genesis. Right, that God created Adam, and he gave him Eve, and then he called him into this beautiful place to walk with him, to know him, to work, and to thrive. And he gives him his command. He says, hey, you can eat from anything of this land except for that one tree. But outside of that, he's like, man, I've given you an abundance. Right, but then we see through Satan's manipulation and man's broken heart that what? That when they're surrounded by so much good, so much blessing that they could focus on instead, they start to long for that one thing that is wrong, that one thing that they cannot have, right? And as they long for that thing, they start to lose trust, and they're led into easy deception. And ultimately, the original sin, that they doubt God's goodness, that they ignore the rest of the goodness. Instead, they want that one thing, right? Their lack of thankfulness, their lack of trust for God's provision is what led them, man, to sin. It was what led them to disobedience, because they were so focused on what they couldn't have that they missed the abundance of what was around them. All right, sin thrives in ungrateful hearts. Sin thrives in ungrateful hearts. As we're focused on what we can't have or the things we don't have and all these things, man, temptation just feeds in that place. Satan thrives in that place. He wants you to doubt God's goodness. He wants you to look at all the things that maybe aren't played out. He wants you to keep your eyes focused on what God is doing in all your life, all the blessings he's blessed you with, and instead just focus on that negative, right? And it could be pride and selfishness through lust and greed and envy, right? That we can be so focused on what is wrong, that, man, we miss the whole rest of the picture. We miss the abundance of blessings, right? We can let anger and frustration, maybe we're driving down the road and college students, y'all are incredible, but right, not all of us are the best drivers, right? And we could, man, one small cutoff and that could ruin our whole day. Man, it could ruin our week. I had a guy the other day, and I'm just gonna confess to y'all, this was something I was struggling with, because I got back to, it was the day I have community group, and I got to him and I confessed, like, man, this is such a silly thing. I was waiting in line for a gas pump and a guy took it from me. That was me, like I waited and I was patient and I was waiting for the other car to pull in, I was gonna take the gas pump, and no, this little car pulled in instead. Yeah, that was wrong, but I let it ruin my day. And I was angry and I was frustrated and I was just replaying the situation over and over again. And I finally got to community group and I just started laughing. I was like, how silly. That was 5 minutes. 5 minutes of my day that was ruined. Right? But it could be something like that. It could be something greater. You could be spending your time on Instagram or Facebook right now and looking at everyone's perfect life, looking at their holidays and their beautiful meals and all these things, and just be discontent with your situation. Right, you can be looking at the world and the pain, and that is real, and I'm not gonna discount that. And you could be frustrated. Instead of looking towards what the Lord is doing in his character, you could just be so distraught and caught into yourself and let your angers, your greed, or whatever it is, take over. Right? So as God is calling us to thankfulness, one is, man, and most importantly, it's an act of worship. It's to draw us closer to the giver of good gifts. But secondly, and I think in comparison, is man, it helps us fight sin. It helps us keep us away from the enemy and the things of this world, because thankfulness kills discontentment at the root. All right, so when we're thankful people, we take the focus off our own desires. We take the focus off our circumstances. Instead, we put them on the Lord. All right, Billy Graham shared this, and I really just loved this as I was doing some time on the sermon. It says this: Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for all his blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of the believer in Jesus Christ. We must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts and to chill our relationship with God and with others. Right, so we've seen, man, that throughout scripture, God has called us and given us the ability to be thankful. Right, he said, one of this, man, this is what you're created for, is to worship and walk with me and not to fall into the traps of the world. So how do we do that, right? That's where my mind goes next. Okay, I say, hey, this is where I need to go. Great, so what are the next steps? And there's three simple ways that they were helpful for me that I wanna walk through, right? Man, to walk in gratitude, to walk in thankfulness, first and foremost, and most importantly, we have to learn to cherish the cross, that is the greatest gift. And then we have to grow this practice. We have to learn how to celebrate often. It's not sometimes, right? It's thankful in all things. And then lastly, when it gets challenging, and it will get challenging if it hasn't already, we have to learn to call these things to mind, because everything in front of us is gonna say the opposite. We have to learn, Lord, how do I call these truths? How do I call these things back? So first and foremost, man, we have to learn to cherish the cross. You have to have an understanding. If this is the first time, a millionth time you've heard the gospel, it should always be just important. The first and foremost, that God has given you the greatest gift of all. That if nothing else from this sermon that you hear, man, that Jesus or the Lord knows you. He knows your past, he knows your present, he knows your future. He knows that you are a sinner who's fallen short of his glory, right? And Jesus said, or God says, man, Christ died while we were still sinners, not when we had it all together, not when we had everything figured out or we hit a certain level of spirituality, but no, while you were dead in your trespasses, a child of wrath, right? A slave to your own desires. That is when Christ came for you. That is the moment where God delivered you from these things. So whatever you've done in the past, whatever you do today, whatever your future is, man, I just want you to know that the Lord knows you, he loves you, he knows these things. And he says, I love you enough that I want to give my son for you, that I want to be with you and I want to help you and to love you and to come along your first day. So if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus, you can know that the Lord is with you. If you haven't, man, we would love to talk to you. There's connect cards in front of you, the connect table out there, and the Larsons are there. You can come find me afterwards, whoever brought you. We'd love to talk to you about what it looks like to put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, because that's the greatest gift ever. So even on your worst day, if you've put your faith in Christ, you can know and hold on to the truth that God is for you, he saved you, he's with you, and he loves you. Nothing can change that, and nothing will ever. Right now, that is something to be thankful for. that we have to remember the realities of who we were. Right? Some of y'all grown up in church your whole lives, that man, the reality is still, we were still broken sinners. And God delivered us because of his mercy and his love. That is our reality. We deserve death and punishment and wrath. Jesus took those things. And he gave us the free gift of new life and relationship through his death and his resurrection. You were once dead, but now you are free. But nothing else could come from our life. But if we have our faith in Jesus, we can be grateful. Because our eternity and our today is changed forever. Right? But reality is, man, Lord, our God is called the giver of good gifts. He's a good father. He's a father who wants to bless us and has blessed us abundantly. I mean, just look around. This is incredible. The brothers and sisters who fill this room as we get to sing and encourage one another, that this is a gift in and of itself. Right? But it's something that doesn't come naturally. Like I said, I do youth ministry, so I like to think back when I was in high school, and every year just gets further and further. But when I was in high school, man, I wasn't the most grateful person. If you're a parent of a high school kid, you know that's probably the norm. Right, parents, thank you. Like, you don't get it, thank yous enough. I remember there was a moment in college where it finally just clicked for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to call my mom and just tell her thank you. And more, like, she's done so much. Like, I don't know how to cook meals. Because they always did that. Like laundries, like they just did those things. I have so much to be thankful for. But we are not naturally thankful human beings. I remember I could build whole relationships or have a whole day where I would connect with someone, if you want to call it connecting, and literally that whole interaction just be complaining, right? We'd leave classes like, man, that chair was really uncomfortable. And man, Miss whatever her name was really mean to us. And I have so much homework. And I'm gonna go home and my mom's probably gonna make me like chicken and I would just want Whataburger. And I could go on and on and deeper and have no, like, any depth outside of just sharing everything that was wrong with my life. Or that we naturally can connect over complaining, that's just something that we do, right? But instead, man, God calls us to be thankful. And so some ways we do that is to celebrate often. Is that what I would give this challenge? One, man, we have to learn to cherish a cross. Second, we have to learn how to celebrate often. It's a muscle. Like tomorrow, I couldn't just wake up and go run a marathon. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that, but definitely not tomorrow, right? It's gonna take time. It's gonna take practice and dedication. It's something that is unnatural for me to run long distances. So I have to train and practice so I can get better at that. The same with gratitude. That is a muscle that you have to stretch. And I love the way the psalmist brings this up. He says this. He says, man, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your great deeds. That to celebrate, you have to take time to stop. You have to take time to pull away from what's next and the next thing on your agenda or your calendar, which I know is really hard, right? You have 14 Christmas pageants coming up in the next 2 days. Right, you have to go see your grandkids and all these things are happening. But the psalmist says this, he said, man, to do these things, I have to ponder your works. I have to look back and I have to reflect. I have to take time to stop and to meditate on these deeds. To have a grateful life, we need to learn to stop and remember and thank God for what he's done. Right, as you finish this week of Thanksgiving, as you finish time with your family or whatever you did this week, my challenge would be just take time to stop. As you go home, man, take 10 minutes, take 15 minutes, and just look for the ways the Lord has blessed you. In the obvious things and also in the obscure things, right? One of my old mentors challenged me, like, hey, it's easy to celebrate God for the big things, but I want you to push past what is comfortable. I want you to look deeper and to see, and thank the Lord that someone vacuumed this floor last night. I don't know their name, but I am grateful that I didn't have to. Like, that there are so many things that we should be thankful for that we just miss out on. And don't just look for those things, man, celebrate those with him. The thankfulness shouldn't just be a thing we do, but it should be a thing we do to draw closer and more love and more adoration with the Lord is. So spend time in prayer, thanking him for each one of those gifts. Make this a regular practice, not only your own time with the Lord, but also challenge, man, do this in community. As all things in the New Testament, we are called to do these things communally. Do this with your family, with your roommates, do this in the car rides, do it with your community group in your Bible study. Like I said, this isn't natural for me. These are challenges for me. So staff meetings, we've had to fit in a time, and I'll talk about our leader meetings later too. We've had to fit in a time and say, hey, this isn't where we're gonna fix what event just happened. It's not where we're going to work on what is coming up next, but this is a moment where we're just going to stop and we're going to have lunch all together and we're just going to celebrate all the stories of what God is doing. Because, man, that is what my heart needs. And God is worthy of all those things and those praises. Is he worthy of us striving to make things better? Absolutely. But he's also worthy of what he has done. As I stop and I reflect, I can say, man, this is nothing to what Gavin has done. God, this is truly of you. And he gets the worship that he is worthy of. Also, I challenge y'all, now, as we're celebrating often, to absolutely celebrate what God's done, but also celebrate those in your life that God has used to bless you. Right? The Lord has blessed you. We see Paul does this often, 1 Corinthians, man, he's in Philippians, he's giving thanks to God for these people, for these relationships, for the way that he's used them in his own life, and vice versa, right? We can often take relationships in our life for granted. I know I can. And become discontent with relationships and focus on just all the negatives and all these different ideas. And like I said, discontentment works in incredibly destructive ways and can move towards our relationships with one another and marriage and friendships, siblings, whatever it looks like. Right, but God has made us for community. He's called us and blessed us with these opportunities to be with people who love us and encourage us. We're made one in Christ Jesus by his blood and unified through his spirit. And so I challenge you this week, take time to celebrate other people. Actually, I challenge you past this week to continue to take time to celebrate other people. And that could be as simple as, man, just send someone a text message thanking them specifically for the things they've done to bless you. And here's one thing I've been challenged in. And there's a season where I did it well, and I'm gonna be honest, right now is not that season. But write someone a letter. I gave this challenge like 4 years ago as I did a similar sermon. And John Creel wrote me a letter. Right, but take time to stop. Right, what does a letter mean? It shows sacrifice. It takes time. It's effort. It shows love. And as we're going to talk about this next point, they can go back to that letter to call to mind the truths of what God has done. Right, and not only that, I mean, as an act of love towards one another, we are called to love God with our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and then our neighbor as ourselves. Let's be people who celebrate celebrate God for what he's doing. In our lives, through our lives in this church, but let's also be people who celebrate what God is doing in other people's lives and help them in that path as well. In college, there was an era right after college where I grew out a mustache and grew my hair really long because in college I was in the Corps and it was my act of rebellion post that. But in college I was in the Corps, which was a joy. It was a journey, I'll be honest. Freshman year, I really didn't know what I was getting into. I grew up wanting to go to UT. And I was like, man, I want to go into the military from a year. I know, that's okay. I didn't. I ended up here, right? Right, but I knew I wanted to go in the military when I was younger for a lot of different reasons. And so I was looking at different opportunities for ROTC and those things. And I came to A&M and I just loved it. I loved the smaller feel. Austin was chaos, but A&M just felt slower and smaller, more familial. I was like, man, this is where I want to be. And they said, great. So tell me about ROTC. I was like, well, we have the Corps. I was like, I don't know what that is, but sign me up, right? And so, which is a big sign you up, let me tell you. So I showed up, and I remember I had like, they tell you, hey, put all of your life and just put it in this box and carry it in, and we're going to welcome you to campus. And so you get out of your car, and there's all these happy upperclassmen like, hey, they're in like their khakis, and they're like, let's carry your box up to your room for you. And so they move you in, and then you say bye to your parents, and then everything just goes wrong, right? You're like, these people were just loving me, and now they're screaming at me, and they took away my first name, and they did all these horrible things, and yelled at me. It's like, I don't even know why I'm here. They just said, sign up, it'll be fun, I'll make a man of you. It's like, man, it did something, right? But we had this senior, I remember one time, he came to us, he's like, hey, Fish, because that's just what they call you, because they can, right? Hey, your life's gonna be hard. And he said, these things are gonna be challenging. He's like, but here's one thing I want you to remember. He's like, hey, I want you to hold on to the small moments. I want you to hold on to the laughter, those little moments you get. You could never laugh in front of upperclassmen. He's like, so you gotta do that in private. But hold on to those fun moments with your buddies. Even if there aren't many, hold on to the laughs. I was like, that's weird. Right, and so I was like, this is some like weird Yoda talk. I don't know what this man is talking about. He just went from screaming at me one second to now trying to be like a friend. And I was just really confused most of that time. Right, but as that year continued, it got harder and harder. Life wasn't the most fun that first year, if I'm being honest. There was definitely its moments. But man, we would just get yelled at for anything, right? You say anything, you gotta do push-ups. You do something wrong, you gotta do push-ups. And like, you're just doing push-ups. You don't even know you could do that many push-ups. And then like your arms start to fall off and you just look like a dead fish flop on the ground. So you have to do more push-ups because you can't do push-ups, right? And just like wrong after wrong after wrong. And there just felt like that there was no winning. And then man, I just felt defeated and hopeless. And I remember the week before finals, like just being in the, like I had to get off campus and I just remember just like, just breaking down. I was like, I don't know if I could do this. It just feels like every day is the worst. All right, and then I remember what that senior told us and learn to stop, right? Like learn to go back and remember those, man, that there were fun moments. That me and my buddies, yes, like the majority of our life was horrible that freshman year, but there was moments in between where we got to laugh and we decided to throw a pumpkin in the hallway and destroy the whole hallway and then had to do more push-ups. But we got to destroy a pumpkin in the hallway and that was really exciting, right? But we had these little moments. And I learned, man, if I can just hold on to those moments, I can remind myself that this temporal discomfort is real. But the man, we will find these moments again, that there will be joy again. And I'm just gonna hold on to that hope. So what it didn't do, it didn't erase the hard times. It's not like the guy said, great, you figured it out. We're gonna be really nice to you. He's like, no, like we're just gonna be more mean. Right, but I knew that ultimately this time would pass. I knew that there would be some hope on the other side. And though this pain was real, it was just temporary. Right, and so as we come into this message, this idea is, man, how to be thankful in all things. And as I said it before, that is a big call. And that is a hard call. Even as I go into the holiday season, man, my heart is burdened. My family split not long after my senior year. Christmas. I remember my dad moved out about 6 days after Christmas, and that's where everything just kind of changes. So I go into Christmas season with just my own challenges, my own burdens of now having to navigate those things. All right, but some of y'all are walking in here. This might be your first Christmas without a loved one, or you might be working through marital challenges or grieving hurt or feeling lonely. As we talk about family and Thanksgiving, you just look back on your past week and it just felt lonely. You felt unseen, unknown. I first and foremost want to let you know that those feelings are okay. I mean, if we can't feel those things here or with God, where can we feel those things? The Lord is not a stranger to those feelings, as we're gonna read in scripture. He's not afraid of those feelings. And I know holidays can bring hurt. And I don't know all of y'all's stories. I don't know all of y'all, but the Lord does. And he's seen your hurts and your burdens. And I just want to let you know that, man, he sees you. That we as a church want to be with you. And those things are okay to feel. So Lamentations 3. If you know anything about Lamentations, the title kind of gives it away. It's not a happy book, right? It's the lamenting of Jeremiah. It is the pains and the sorrows coming out in words. And so it's a funny book to bring into a sermon of Thanksgiving. But man, as I prepared the sermon, it was honestly all built around this idea that this is where I see Thanksgiving happen. So Lamentations 3, Jeremiah begins just by sharing his feelings and his current state with God. And I'm not gonna read all of it, but I'm gonna read some of it. He says, man, I am the man who's seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. And he has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. He goes on to say, he has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He's walled me about so I cannot escape. He's a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I've become the laughingstock of all his people, the object of their taunts all day long. He has made my teeth grind on gravel, and he's made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope for the Lord. All right, that is not a happy explanation. As I read those things, man, I just feel the pain and despair and hopelessness in Jeremiah. As he sees God, he just feels like he has just been destroyed by his reality. And I'm just in awe of his brutal honesty. And honestly, I'm challenged by it. My heart breaks. But then he goes on to say this in verse 20, chapter 3. He says, man, my soul, it continually remembers it and it's bowed down within me. But this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will have hope in him. And he goes on, continue to declare the goodness of who the Lord is. Now, some things he doesn't say, right? As he's calling these things in, he doesn't say, hey, I've called these things to mind of who the Lord is, and now, therefore, everything's just good. Or he doesn't say, I was so wrong to ever feel those challenges because this is who God is. No, instead, he says, now I can have hope. Because even though these trials were real and this pain and hurt was real, this is who my God is. And I'm going to choose to believe and declare that over any circumstance they may face me. Right? So in our trials and hurt, we can follow Jeremiah's example. We can learn and be challenged by this, and I am challenged by this. And the pain and the sorrow and the grieving, not to discount those things. My goal isn't for you to walk in here and feel, man, that those things are pushed away. That is not the reality. That our world is broken because of sin and death is real. And God knows these things. God has felt the same sorrows. He saw his son take the cross. You aren't wrong for mourning death, being hurt by sin, for feeling lonely. But instead, I want us to look at the backside of that passage. That regardless of these, or even in these circumstances, which are true, and we can call to mind the reality of who our God is. Because this is who our God is. Because his love, it never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. And Lord, great is your faithfulness. The Lord, you are my portion. And I can have hope in you. So instead of saying, man, being so focused on those things, man, know those things, walk through those things, but keep your eyes fixed on the reality of who our God is. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the creator of all things, the one who knows you and loves you and has the whole picture figured out. That suffering is real, but it does not compare to the glory that we will know as we are with God forever and eternity. And that we long and we have a hope and a confidence that, man, Jesus will return. And I love that today we got to light that candle because we have a hope for what Christ will do. And that is a confidence, not a blind hope. It is a confidence in the promise of the character of our God, knowing that our God is faithful. Our God is true. He fulfills what he says he will. And therefore, we can walk through suffering and pain and still choose to see God for who he is. That he loves you. And if you're struggling with grief or difficulty this season, I want to encourage you, to talk to someone about it. Join a Bible study. We have a group called Grief Share. There are many groups. There aren't just here at Creekside, but also Grace Bible Church as a whole. They can support you in this difficult season. We are called and we are able to walk through these challenges with community. And so come to the Connect booth, man, fill out a Connect card, email Chris Thompson, come talk to me. We'd love to help you navigate these difficult seasons because they are, and they can bring many challenges. But the reality is they can also bring so much hope and healing. And as we get to focus our eyes on Jesus and the truth of what he's done, our hearts begin to heal. And does it take time? Yes. But healing can happen because of what Jesus has done. And so church, I just encourage us, let us be a thankful people. Let us be a people who are regularly stopping, who are celebrating what God has done, what he promises will do, and ultimately who he is. Let's seek out ways to reflect and to celebrate those things. Man, let's be a people who fall on our knees, not just in despair, but also in gratitude for the abundance of blessings. Let us be people who celebrate often, who call to mind the truth of God is because we can cherish the cross. And so a few ways, a few application points, and that is, I don't know if any of y'all journal. I started about 5-6 years ago. I wouldn't have said I journaled much growing up. I probably didn't do much writing at all growing up. But as I've learned, taking time to just start to journal, this has been a big piece of that journaling. It isn't just processing through my thoughts, but it's just taking time to stop and to reflect over the abundance of the Lord has done. And man, it has develop just so much more love and adoration for the Lord and for others. As I'm able to take my focus off all the challenges, instead see what God is doing, I just have a more joyful heart, and I love the Lord more. So I encourage you, it can be a journal, it can be a piece of paper, you have notes on your phone. I challenge you to put away your phone though and just remove yourself from distractions. Pull yourself away from those things and start to list just things you're grateful for, blessings you've seen in your life. And you might not feel that like warm, happy feeling right away. Like I said, it is a practice, it is a discipline. But begin with the obvious and become and move more obscure. Be specific, right? Our goal isn't just warm feelings. It is to grow our love and adoration and worship for God. And so as you write those things, celebrate those things with him. Thank him for those things. Secondly, I brought it up earlier, write someone a letter. And let's be people who celebrate others well, who show the love of Christ, who love others and those things, and then speak life and identity and affirmation into their lives. Thirdly, celebrating community. So one thing we've done, because I said it before, and y'all know, youth ministry isn't the most like, I don't normally like finish a sermon, kids come up and say, wow, Gavin, that was a really good sermon. You did these things really well. Thank you so much for that, right? That's not why we do it. You can talk to any of our youth leaders, like we're not doing these things because we want affirmation. But one thing we've had to start doing, because man, it is hard. It's challenging. Like our youth leaders give so much time and our youth staff give so much time and energy to helping these students find and follow Jesus. We've had to learn, man, it can be discouraging because these students are walking through pains and challenges. And we just continue to grow and we're feeling just tired often. So one thing, like I said, we started moving not just into our staff meeting, but into our leader meeting, is we want to include in every leader meeting a time just to celebrate. And at times it looks different in what it is. Sometimes we pass around a mic, sometimes we just write some celebrations down and pray over those things. But we just, I mean, if we want to be a people who love God, love people, and make disciples, that we need to celebrate what God is doing in our ministry, that we don't have enough on our own. And that within that, man, God is worthy of our praises. And so we have started to just incorporate that within 10 minutes of our meeting every week, every Sunday. We just celebrate. And so I would challenge y'all to do the same in your communities, whatever that looks like. Take time to just celebrate. Share a story of what God's done in your life. Share a story of what God's done in someone else's life. Because you don't know what other challenges people are walking through. Man, maybe they need to hear that. Because maybe their life doesn't feel like God is doing much. But as they hear your story and they hear your celebration, maybe it draws them back into the Lord, into who the Lord actually is. And then my last one is this. Going off that idea with Jeremiah, man, let's worship even when it's hard. As we move into this time of worship, man, maybe your heart says, Lord, I don't feel these things. I have a hard time even declaring these words. And so I just say, just sit under these truths. Maybe speak them to yourself. Sometimes we need to worship for our hearts to catch up. And so as we move into this time of prayer, I'm gonna give you all a moment. I'm gonna open us up and then I'm just gonna stop. And I just would love for y'all to spend some time praying and thanking the Lord for the abundance of what he's done. I'm thanking him for Jesus. Thanking him for that, man, he's delivered us. If nothing else, he's delivered you from death and into his family. And he calls you child. So church, let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for this time just to be with these brothers and sisters. Lord, to look at who you are, God, that you are worthy of all praise. Father, you've created the heavens and the earth, Lord. The stars declare your glory. And Lord, yet you know us and you love us. You've given Jesus so that we can know you and walk with you and be with you. Lord, we confess that we are at times ungrateful people. We are people who become so discontent with situations or circumstances, and that Lord, we take things into our own hands and become frustrated and anger or anger easily. So Lord, I pray that Father, you help us develop a heart of gratitude. That Lord, you help give us the strength to focus on who you are. Now church, I'd ask that you just spend some time thanking the Lord for what he has blessed you. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. Lord, we love you and praise all things. In Jesus' heavenly, holy and ever precious name.